When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, everybody, welcome in. Reach the Horizon, the official podcast of the Horizon League. Justin Kinner with you here, bringing you another week's edition of the podcast, of course. And can you believe it? Non-conference play for both the men and the women's side. Wrapping up here over the next week before the holiday break, of course. Christmas will be here in the blink of an eye, and then bam. It's conference play, Horizon League play, of course, for both men and women. Of course, it's that weird scheduling thing now that's happened over the last couple of years where, you know, more conference games are played, so conference games have been kind of pushed up a little bit. So some teams are 1-1, 2-0, 1-0, 0-1 right now, but the full slate of conference games coming up, tipping off on December 29th, and we're gearing up for that, no doubt about it. Non-conference, when you talk about mid-major basketball, it's always tough to get a good feel for these teams in the non-conference, because a lot of times, you know, some conference or some programs, they kind of they have different scheduling philosophies. You know, do you want to play a super over the top, you know, challenging non-conference schedule, get a lot of bye games? Of course, there's business decisions that are in there, and then there are some that want to schedule a lot of similar teams, like-minded teams coming from similar conferences to prepare them for conference play. And then there's the Greg Campy approach, that they're going to play every Big Ten team, every SEC team, they're going to play every big major program that they get their hands on, nonetheless. So it's sometimes tough to gauge who these teams are based on their win-loss record in November, December, because of all the various scheduling approaches, nonetheless. But I'm excited to bring on our next guest. He is the voice for both men and women's basketball for the Green Bay Phoenix, of course. We have Mr. Brian Kuklinski joining us now. Brian, welcome in. This is your first time on the podcast. Welcome.
It is, Justin. I appreciate you having me on.
So with that being said, the thing that's most interesting, I want to start on the women's side for Green Bay. This is your first year on the call for the women, correct?
It is. You know, I've done some fill-in stuff here and there over the last 8 years of them, but the first time spending the whole season with the team, and they are a fun team to be around.
You know, they have a couple. I mean, they play a challenging non-conference schedule. They've played a couple top 25 teams, and they've beaten a couple top 25 teams. Before we dive into full, you know, just the Green Bay side of things, just what's your overall takeaway of that? Is it difficult for you to kind of gauge teams, especially mid-major teams, in November, December, because of the various ways that programs approach scheduling?
You know, it really is when you're looking at the broad picture of things, because as you mentioned there, you know, every coach has their different philosophy and every school has their different philosophy about how many bye games you have to go out and play and who you're going to schedule, how many non-D1s you have on your schedule is, you know, another thing. And, you know, I think there's that nice balance you can find of where you mentioned the Greg Campy approach. You're going to go out and play some of these top tier programs, but you're going to sprinkle in a non D1 here and there. Cause you know, honestly, I'm a big believer that psychologically going in as a mid-major program and playing some of these top programs and, you know, quite honestly, losing a lot of those games, that losing can wear on you in the non-conference. So I think it's important to have those games too, where you get that feel of winning before you get into conference play.
No, and that's the thing, too. So I call games for Wright State right now. I'm filling in for Jim Brown. And Wright State on the men's side, they've played a very challenging non-conference schedule, but they've scheduled a lot of, like, I mean, you're talking about your Western Kentucky's, Davidson,
yep.
Colorado State. They took on Indiana out of the Big Ten, and they've been competitive in all these games. They did get blown out by Colorado State, but they've been competitive in all these games. They lost a close one this week against Western Kentucky. But Coach Nagy, when talking with him, that, you know, the big thing is they knew they were challenging themselves in the non-con, and although it's to prepare you for conference play, the thing that you have to balance is you don't want the losing to wear on the morale of the team, and then that takes you away from your skill set that way. So yeah, coaches have their work cut out for them, because knowing you're going to play a tough non-con, you have to balance the mental side of it, and that's an example of a program that's kind of dealing with that right now, and that's both on the men and the women's side across college basketball, especially in the Horizon.
And I couldn't agree with you more, Justin, and honestly, you could probably dedicate an entire 3-hour podcast to the science of scheduling. I don't envy the coaches that have to try and churn out the schedule each and every year, because the fan base is never going to be happy, right? You know, you're going to have those games where the fans go, why are you going, you know, all the way across the country to play this high major, or why is this D2 school coming to play here? And it's getting so harder now with the big schools really having not a lot of incentive to schedule a tough game. Wright State and Coach Nagy have proved themselves. So has Coach Campy in Oakland, and many other teams in the Horizon League prove themselves that they can go into these places and win. And if you're a high major looking at a bye game, are you going to continue to buy Wright State when you have a chance to lose? You know, like I said, you could go on for hours about how a schedule is put together.
Yeah, and then on the flip side too, like you'll never talk to a coach in mid-major basketball that says, like, well, we're accepting, like, for instance, the Horizon League, you know, everyone, oh, it's a one-bid league, right? That's not an insult. That's just the reality of it. It is very challenging. We've seen, I mean, you know, this Green Bay, I remember when back in the mid-2010s, I think they were like a 28, or maybe that's Valpo. I think it was Green Bay, or when they had Kiefer Sykes, or it was Valpo around that time. There was like a 28-win team. And they were a hell of a team, and they didn't even sniff the NCAA tournament. But when you talk to coaches, you know, they won't admit to you that, okay, we're not scheduling to get an at-large, you know, bid or whatever. But it's like, so you're scheduling to prepare for conference play for that one-week conference tournament, of course. But, like, what's weird is when you talk to coaches, I've never talked to a coach that says we're not scheduling to, or we're scheduling to not get an at-large bid. It's a very difficult science, and I don't even know what there is to it, as we said. We could do a whole podcast on that when it's all said and done.
You know, and it's something I love talking about. We can segue into talking about the Green Bay women, because Coach Forseth has told me this many times this year. You know, they played an incredibly challenging and are in the still the midst of an incredibly challenging non-conference schedule. You mentioned the top 25 teams they played. And that's on purpose this year. And, you know, he has said, you know, the Horizon League, especially on the women's side, is good enough to be a two-bid league.
Yep.
And, you know, wants to schedule those games. So, like last year when Green Bay wins the conference and has a great season, and so did Cleveland State, but you know, come to that conference tournament and Green Bay loses in the championship, and now they don't get to go to the NCAA tournament. So, you know, that's by design, scheduling a lot of these, you know, quad one wins and all the buzzwords that are used to hopefully – you know, down the road, force the committees to look and say, hey, maybe we should take a second team out of this conference.
No, and let's talk about Green Bay. First of all, let's start on the women's side, as you just alluded to. Green Bay basketball, I'll never forget when I first started, I was doing student radio at Wright State. And Wright State, Green Bay, of course, for many, many years, a huge rivalry in the Horizon League. And it was the conference championship game. This is back before the host sites, of course. And it was Wright State. They had Kim Demings. And it was just, I mean, it was in the course, as far as Wright State goes, Green Bay, they're great every year, right? So I remember going to Green Bay, my first time in Green Bay, and I'm going to a little local pizza shop to pick up my food. And there was a lady behind us. Oh, you here for the big game? Now, I wasn't, you know, downgrading what I was there for. I'm just like, oh, what game are you talking about? She goes, oh, Wright State, Green Bay. And she wasn't the only one. There was another fan that was there asking about Kim Demings. I said, man, women's basketball, they take women's basketball super serious here. It's a completely different feel over in Green Bay when it comes to the women's basketball program. What makes Green Bay women's basketball so special over there? And just talk about what it means to that community over there.
It really is a big deal within Green Bay, and not just Green Bay, but, you know, a lot of the greater Wisconsin area. A lot of it is because Coach Forseth has been there for a long time. And, you know, his recruiting philosophy and his style, when coaches, you know, come up in their press conferences and say, I want to put a fence around the state and get the best talent in the state to come here, he does it year in and year out. You take a look at the roster build and, you know, all except for three girls are from the state of Wisconsin. So there's that local tie. But then, you know, Coach Forseth and his UP roots from Upper Michigan, he's a big believer in community involvement. You're constantly seeing the girls out in the community doing things. And the fans really get to know the players outside of just shooting a basket. And it is amazing when you go to the Crest Center and you're seeing 2,500 people at every game. Doesn't matter who they're playing. And then seeing, you know, some of the big rivalry games. I remember the Wright State game you're talking about. There was probably, what, 3,600 people there for that one?
It was insane.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool to see. And then, the facility's beautiful. They play in a perfect-size facility for what Green Bay basketball is. Just a little over 4,000 people, but it really comes down to they ingrain themselves in the community and make people want to come see them.
You mentioned Coach Borsett, and again, you've called the men's games a lot longer than the women's games, of course, but in your time doing this, what separates Coach Borsett from other college basketball coaches? Forget men or women's basketball in isolated situations. What makes him such a great college basketball coach? He's been there for so long. He's a character, and he's separated himself from all the other coaches. Just talk about what makes him so special and great at what he does.
So what was interesting was the first time I really got to sit down and talk to him was when I started doing the men's games. And, you know, I was asking him about certain things. And I said, you know, when you're taking a look at the other team and you're watching film and you're scouting, what kind of things are you looking for? He goes, I'm more worried about what we do. And I went, that's really interesting. I haven't heard a whole lot of coaches say that. He goes, if we go out and we are our best on our system, the other team has to beat us. And, you know, obviously they look and they know what the other team is doing, but he really, you know, spends a lot of time self-scouting, doing those things. He's got a system that works. He's never wavered from that system. You know, he's not all about like the new big thing with analytics. And he's still that kind of guy that he coaches a game from the gut, and it's worked for him for so long. So why would you ever change it?
We have Brian Kuklinski with us here. He's the voice of Green Bay men's basketball and on the women's side as well. And right now, of course, we're making our trip around the Horizon League and just kind of touching base with some of the voices of these respective programs throughout, because you guys, and you know, I do it too, we have a front row seat and we know the ins and outs of how these teams are operating and the vibe right now. And of course, Green Bay is always fascinating, especially on the women's side. Last thing before we transition over to the men's side of things, you know, Brian, you know what, right now, just highlight a couple of the players on this roster right now, because the thing that's interesting, and by the way, if you're not, you know, it's like if you're top 25, that means you're good. If you're not top 25, that means you're bad. That's not the case. But we've seen them lose to some unranked teams, and then they'll beat, you know, Washington State. They'll beat some really, really good top 25 teams. Just talk about the ebbs and flows of this Green Bay team and how good they are and how good they can be.
You know, I don't know if they've really shown how good they can be yet. That's kind of the scary part of the team this year. And just being around the team, it's a team that genuinely really likes each other and truly does not care who steps up from night to night. You've seen different games with different leading scorers and, you know, the way the scoring is distributed. And on any given night, you're going to have somebody step up. I remember against Illinois State, a girl like Callie Genke comes out and puts up over 20 points. And then there's games that she comes out and just gets two. And that's okay. That's how they play. The one thing I will say, if you take a look at some of the losses that they've had, the common theme in the three losses they've had, their three-point shooting wasn't good. And not that this is a team that lives and dies by the three, but it's a team that plays really unselfish, moving the basketball. And if they have the threat of making the three, is, you know, it's cliche in basketball, but it opens up everything else underneath. And in those games that they lost, they shot a very poor percentage from distance, and that's part of the reason. You know, the games they won, they'll make 6, 7, 8 threes, but the percentage is good. The games that they didn't, you know, that's where the percentage was bad.
Over to the men's side as we wrap this up. Sundance Wicks. I mean, there's no cooler name in the coaching ranks than Sundance Wicks. But, you know, obviously there's been some coaching changes at Green Bay, quite a few over the years, obviously. And now in comes Sundance Wicks with the coolest name, I think, out there. Talk about, outside of his cool name, just the work that he's doing right now. Obviously, you know, rebuild, you know, you don't really use that, but just kind of getting his guys in there and getting his program established. Talk about the work that he's doing, a 5-6 start for the men.
You know, I got to tell you, the first question I always usually get about Coach Wicks is if it's an act or if he's genuine. And I will tell you that in all of my interactions with him and the interactions that I've witnessed, if you spend 10 minutes talking to that guy, you are tired by the time your conversation's over. It's a very genuine thing. It's who he is. And, you know, his phrase is he wakes up every day to empty the tank every day. And being whatever that is, spending time with his kids, going grocery shopping, coaching basketball, it's just unbelievable the amount of energy the guy brings to it. Now, he expects that from all of his players. And I think he's done a great job of getting the guys to really buy into the system. And there's a phrase that's used around the Green Bay Phoenix program of the Green Bay Way. And Coach Borseth has done it forever. You asked what makes Coach Borseth a special coach. Coach Wicks, he said the first day that he was in the office, he went into Coach Borseth's office and asked him how he wins all the time. And Coach Wicks has established the, I'm going to play defense, 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 and then we're going to start working on the offensive side of the ball. And he's gotten the group of guys to really buy into that, which is awesome to see. And you saw it, you know, last night, nice win over UIC, and a couple of games where they were, you know, flat and the defense didn't quite perform as well. But he's going to win every press conference he's in, and he's already gotten two more wins than the program had last year. So it's been fun to be around so far.
You want to talk about the energy and the personality. I mean, you said, you sit down with a conversation for him, you'll be tired. I've never seen him and Bart Lundy in a room together, but I feel like Bart Lundy kind of reminds me that of that too. I'm sure that those two, would be quite entertaining in the same room together as far as that's concerned. But look, we saw Bart Lundy do some really good things. That was a hire that, you know, you look at the coaching ranks and kind of his background and how he ended up at Milwaukee. Some were like, okay, is this going to work or not? Same thing with Sundance Wicks. And again, what I think what you're learning is we look too much into the where they're coming from. And when you just talk to them and you just meet them, you're like, oh, it makes sense. It makes sense for Bart Lundy in Milwaukee, and it makes a ton of sense for Sundance Wicks in Green Bay. There's no doubt about it.
I 100% agree with you. And one of the things that I think you're seeing, the Coach Lundy, Coach Wicks examples are great examples of it. You don't see it quite as often in the women's game, although Detroit Mercy would make an argument on the women's side of things. But it doesn't take 3 or 4 years to turn a program around anymore.
Cleveland State. Cleveland State's another example, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you in today's day and age of the transfer portal and the way it works and, you know, how players are able to move, you get the right mix of guys with the right coach in there and you can turn a program around pretty quick. And hopefully that's what we're seeing here in Green Bay because we're not too far removed being a really good top four team in the Horizon League, and hopefully Coach Wicks gets it back to that again.
All right, good stuff. Brian Kuklinski again, the voice of Green Bay Phoenix basketball for both men and women. And Brian, this will not be the last time we talk to you this season. I know we'll do another sweep through the league and touch base and get the pulse of both men and women's programs again as we get closer and closer to March or February, mid-February, no doubt. So, Brian, thank you so much. Appreciate your time, and we'll talk soon.
Anytime, Justin. Appreciate you having me.
All right. This has been Reach the Horizon, the official podcast of the Horizon League.